The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to another edition of Afternoons with Mike. I get to do this every day, get to have somebody in the studio, often, sometimes over the phone. Today, it is face-to-face with, of all people, my boss. I am grateful to have Scott Miller in the studio with me. Scott, welcome, my friend.
And you asked, just for the record. This was not a requirement for you to do this interview. No, it's a joy to be here.
Well, I joke about this, and one of the, I guess, first times that we got to see each other face to face, you presented me with your book called Media Matters.
And I did. Very self-promotion of me, wasn't it?
and it was actually a great gesture, because it's really a good book. And I'm amazed. And now I have a joke about you. You're the guy that wrote the book on media. And so I get to have that kind of guy on my program with me. There you are. That works.
Yeah. That's why you write a book, right? So you can say things like that. You don't do it for the royalties, I'll tell you that.
You know, I talked just earlier today with somebody who was talking about their book and how that it was on only one bookstore in the entire country. And he said it's you know, a little known thing called Amazon. And I thought that was pretty funny.
There you go.
Yeah, you only need to be on one bookstore these days. And that's what he is. But and you're on that store.
Yeah,
well,
on Amazon. I think Barnes & Noble's had me at one time. So, yeah, it's out there. I think at this point it's on the 99-cent aisle. But
did you ever? So it was actually distributed?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's rare.
Well, it was working with a publisher helped with that. I worked with Freiling Publishing, and Tom Freiling used to run all of Salem's publishing before he started his own company. So he's in the faith-based publishing world. Probably can have him on the show sometime. Great guy.
I would love to, yeah. You know, I've known a lot of authors that's been on my program. A good friend is from the Daytona Beach area, Dan Walsh, that's been on, and he had a well-known contract. His books were everywhere. You'd go, I'd be on vacation in some distant city in Indiana or Kentucky and would find his books in
the
Christian
store.
Bookstore.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not saying that you could find my book at Barnes & Noble. It was barnesandnobles.com. I just want to be clear.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
see,
Dan,
you were really impressed, and now I just kind of went down a notch.
No. It's still there. You've written the book on media. And that's really it. And that's really one of the things that I want to talk about. Now, a little bit of background about you. It is important to realize that when you say you've written a book on media, you can say that because you've come from what I consider to be a wide experience base of media, and included Christian media, especially that, actually. But where did you get started in all of that?
You know, for me, Mike, the Lord really impressed upon me. It started, you know, I was in high school and, 18 years old, what are you going to do for a career? And, you know, I had, I guess it was like three different people from different areas of my life say, you got a really great speaking voice. Have you ever thought about doing radio? And that's what got my attention. And growing up in Waco, Texas, shadows of Baylor University, great late voice Frank Fallon did play-by-play for Baylor. And I realized this guy gets paid to go watch sports. That sounds like a really cool, you know, business. And so that's what sparked the interest. I did play-by-play for 10 years, did mainly high school, did some college, but that's what got me into the business. But yeah, it's interesting. You get in the business, but the Lord has a plan. And if you would have, you know, talked to that 18-year-old kid and say, you're going to get to do all of the things that I've been blessed to do over my career, I'd be like, you're nuts. There's no way that's going to happen.
It'd be nice if we could have a little bit of an idea. I say that. I'm not so sure it would be anything but a curse to know what's ahead for us ahead of time. But I think few people do realize what and how God's going to lead them. But he certainly has led you. And you found, or we found you. I'm not sure how that happened, but you got together with the people that own Mark Media.
Right.
And this is at a time where not only are we growing, but you're helping that process grow as well. That's one of the things that you do. So you live in the Dallas area.
I do. I call Arlington, Texas home.
Yeah.
Home of the world champion Texas Rangers.
That's right.
Gotta throw that out there because it's probably the only year we can do that. But yeah, grew up in Texas. Wife is from Arlington. We haven't always lived in Texas. We lived in Atlanta, Georgia for a couple of years. You know, you mentioned Christian faith-based background. I programmed the Christian Talk Station for Sirius Satellite Radio when that was new before they merged with XM.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a total God story how I ended up with that job.
A national outlet there.
Yeah, it really was. And so I did that for a good portion of my career. And then I got out of the faith-based media space and into really business content. So when I say secular media or mainstream media, that can be kind of a trigger word for some people. It wasn't like I was working for some big network. It was a small, independently owned business content, which I loved because I got to work with small businesses and help them out. And that sort of, it's like if I had to sum up my two passions, it's certainly on mission, you know, for Christ and just reaching the world and what we're able to do. And the shepherd is just encouraging people every single day on their walk. I think we need that as believers.
Yes, we do.
And then I also have that passion of helping that small business. If I could take someone who owns a business and that maybe they're struggling and help them understand how to market their business and watch them grow, that's exciting.
Now, where did you get this idea that sales and business is that exciting? Where did that happen?
You know, I think, again, you go back to how God creates you, right? And so when I look at, it's funny, it's hindsight. I look as a kid and I realize, oh my gosh, everything I did as a kid, I would play either media, like I actually published a newspaper. My dad was in the grocery business and he brought home those butcher paper?
Oh yeah,
Big roll of
wrap
butcher
the meat
paper.
In. Yeah.
And I created a newspaper out of that. I had one subscriber. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. And then when I wasn't doing that, I was playing like I was a radio DJ. When my parents got their first VCR, all of a sudden I was programming a movie channel. So it's very clear that part. But then I also was interested in one day owning my own store. And I had this real creative name for it. I was going to call it Stuff. That never happened, of course. But I think I didn't realize the entrepreneur spirit in me until a mentor of mine, gentleman I worked for, Ed Frazier, a serial entrepreneur, looked at me and he saw those qualities in me and he started to bring him out and say, I see you and me, you know, kind of the way you think is the way I think. And it helped me realize that that entrepreneur spirit's there. So I think that helps me relate to business owners. And when you talk about the book on media, it really is geared toward the business owner, educating them how they can use media to grow their business.
Now, every successful entrepreneur is a hard worker, but not every hard worker is an entrepreneur. How do you make those things? How do you decide whether you're just a hard worker or whether you have that ability, those giftings that you've
sure.
had? How do you describe those?
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it, you know, entrepreneurship, really, it's like there's three levels of it. And then I'll kind of go back to the heart of your question. But you have solopreneurs, and they're out there, and they're very creative. They come up with ideas, come up with concepts, but they don't employ anybody. They employ themselves. The entrepreneur is really somebody who starts to build a business, and now that they're actually employing people, they're creating jobs.
Wow, you just blew my mind with a term, a solopreneur.
Solopreneur, and they're out there. You have solopreneurs. You know solopreneurs, right?
And then in that definition, I do.
Yeah, then the top level is the ones we always talk about. They're the disruptors, and they're the ones that come into an industry that already exists, but they do it in a new way.
Take it to the next level.
Steve Jobs, he was a disruptor. He disrupted cell phones, right? Bill Gates, a disruptor. So those are different levels. So, you know, as far as, you know, you could be a business owner and not be an entrepreneur, sure. I could see that, but it's really about how you look at things and how you process things. You know, I love a challenge. Give me something that's broken and I want to fix it. Or give me something that doesn't exist and we want to build it. That's what energizes me. And that's when I say entrepreneurship spirit, I'm really talking about that spirit of wanting to take something that's nothing and create it into something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm old enough that I get to look back on those early years of my life. And this would be in the early 70s. And a lot of things, the 70s were kind of like almost the last little era before technology really mushroomed and exploded. And so in the 70s, basically, a lot of the radio stations that were existing in the early 70s were still running in very many areas just like they had run 20 years earlier in the 50s. And, you know, the 50s now, that's when TV was just getting its legs under it and starting to roll. Radio was already well-known and very, very popular. You had these regional radio stations like WSM that would be listened to all over the southeast and southwest and Louisiana Hayride and things like that, some things from Texas. But media was growing in the 70s, but I got to be a part of that old wave, if you will.
Sure.
And you came around in the 90s.
Right.
And that's when you started. And by then, computers were already starting to make a wave.
Sure.
They weren't big, big yet in the early 90s. But they were starting, and people were starting to, obviously, by then, the talk of high-def TV was coming out and all of the changes that that was going to bring. And none of us that are my age could even understand the trouble or the effort. Why bother with HDTV? What we have is great, isn't it? I mean, that was the thought of so many of us.
Right.
So you've seen maybe really up close. I mean, you came along, you saw perhaps in the beginnings of your career, what would be from where you started to where we are now. One ginormous amount, even still, even though you're about 20 some odd years later in the game than what I was.
Yeah,
so you've seen a lot.
Well, it's interesting because I'll just tell you, I was born 78. So when you talk about early 70s, yeah, it predates me. But
yeah.
I'm technically X. But they did the sub-generation from like 76 to 1980. They call us Zillennials. And it really says that we grew up, everything was analog. So when you talk about record players and 8-tracks and all those things I had as a kid, but then when I became an adult, everything was digital music and Napster and, you know,
Napster,
broadcast.
You talk about disruptor.
Napster
was a disruptor.
Mark Cuban, you know, Mark Cuban made his money with Broadcast Works when he put all the radio stations online. You know, he sold that to Yahoo and that's where he got his money. And so all of that came on. I, you know, 1996, the first year I got into radio, was right after the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those in the industry, we know what that means. But basically, the biggest part was it allowed major groups to own multiple radio stations.
And they used to be highly limited before that.
Exactly. And thousands of radio jobs were disappearing as I came in the industry. And I remember being in college thinking, okay, I'll do this for a couple of years and then I'll go get a real job because I thought it was dying. I thought I'm not going to have a career. And here I am,
that's right,
nearly 30 years later, still working in the business. So.
Well, people back then, they were saying AM radio stations were dying.
Right.
And they credit Rush Limbaugh with being one of the people that kept AM in business, if you will, back then. But that's all proven to be now, all those words and those dire predictions about AM radio, they've been proven to not be true.
You see, I have a theory. Anytime someone says such and such media is dying, my response is media never dies. It just reinvents itself.
That's good.
There are more subscribers today. I'm going to blow your mind here. The New York Times has more subscribers today than they ever did in the history of their company.
Now, even though they're not printing newspapers the same way.
It's digital subscribers.
Yeah, right.
People have moved online, so it's like, oh, newspaper's dying. Newspaper's not dying. You just get it online. You read it on your tablet.
Yeah. and how convenient that is. And it offers so much more, but you just can't put your iPad in the bottom of the birdcage anymore. I mean,
I would not recommend
recommend that, but it really has changed. And I think that is a good jumping off point into something that we're going to be talking about further in the next on the other side of the break when we're there. This whole thing of change, we've seen more change in the attitude and the mentality about what's right. I mean, I remember back, you mentioned some of the things with the FCC and the Radio Act that they did, the Broadcast Act in the 90s. But the FCC came out with this a list of 7 words or whatever it was that you were not supposed to ever utter on any kind of broadcast. Some radio stations lost their licenses.
Right.
Because they were breaking what was the morality clause of the FCC.
Sure.
And there was a time that the FCC stood for things that would not be all that different than what most believers would hear on a Sunday morning. I mean, they wanted families, they wanted wholesome, they wanted things that would not be detrimental to development and the moral fabric of our society. Things have changed.
They have changed, but to be clear, the FCC still has those same laws in place, right? If you have an AM or FM station, there's still those words you can't say. If you're broadcasting over the air, I think the clarity and where it's changing is as things move to the internet, they don't have the same regulations in place online as they do. Same with cable. You know, remember when cable came out, all of a sudden you started like, why is that? I remember when we lived in Atlanta, you know, TBS, the superstation, we were in Atlanta when this happened, up until 2007, it was WTBS, whatever they broadcast locally, they would broadcast nationally. So TBS was clean. Mm-hmm. It adhered to those FCC broadcasts. They rebranded, they broke them apart, and they rebranded the local station Peachtree TV in order to air more adult content on the cable channel TBS.
Wow. I did not know that.
All of a sudden, I heard words I never heard before. Let's just be honest, nudity was on there. It's like things that you never saw on TBS because it was a cable channel, and the FCC does not own the broadcast air on the cable channel.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's changed a lot, but I think it's that internet. Like when I read a news story, and this is what shocks me, when I read a news story and there's a 4-letter word written in the news story, now maybe it's an opinion piece, but you used to not write that.
Yeah, but it's there now. And sadly, I mean, there are still a lot of censoring kind of habits that are out there where they'll maybe add an asterisk here and there and they won't print the whole word. But the attitude behind it is that when it does happen and it's heard on these cable stations, like you said, it's not hands aren't slapped. Let's just say it that way.
Right.
They are really not after the same kind of enforcement that they once did. So a lot of things have happened over these years in the media to get us to where we are today. And we are now at a point where I believe we've got to, all of us, we've got to stand up and say what's right. We've got to speak out and hold our positions, because if they don't, I think the media is going to try to redefine it for our kids. They're out there.
You definitely have to be more mindful. You know, I remember my parents, and I love my parents, but they gave me cable in my bedroom.
Mm.
And I remember as an adult saying, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to do that. Because, you know, we didn't have the movie channels, but there's still content that I should not be watching as a teenager.
Yeah.
As an adult, but less as a teenager. Yeah. And then it hit me as a light bulb. I'm like, so my kids never had cable. Then I gave them a smartphone.
And the same thing. Yeah, same type of thing. Hey, I'm up against a break. We'll be back. This is Afternoons with Mike. My guest, Scott Miller. I'll be back in a moment.
Would you like to increase your business's exposure in the Christian community and build your business with greater kingdom purpose? If so, then the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is the solution for you. Hi, this is Co-President Latondra Heaven. The Christian Chamber is more than just another business organization. It's a regional community of business professionals passionate about advancing the kingdom of God through the marketplace in Central Florida. As a member, get access to exclusive values-based networking events, Christ-centered professional development, marketing opportunities, and consistent prayer support for you and your business. Plus, gain access to the National U.S. Christian Chamber Coalition. Become a member today. Visit our website, cfchristianchamber.com, or call us at 407-431-0732. That's 407-431-0732.
Here we are now on the program Afternoons with Mike, and Scott Miller is here. Scott is a resident of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but he oversees a lot of the aspects of Mark Media, and included in that to my great fortune, The Shepherd. And so all of our stations are under the guiding hand of Scott Miller. I couldn't be more thrilled, because I believe you carry not only the experience of media, you understand media, you understand the whole gospel message. Not every person with broadcast experience, obviously, could do that. But you have both the broadcast side and the real love for Jesus side. And when you take that and you put those together in one person to lead with your experience, man, that's such a blessing. I want you to know that's how I feel. And I speak highly about you to everybody.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I really mean it. I feel like I sometimes need to pinch my arm and say, is this really happening? I get to do this at this stage of my life, to get to have this kind of fun, to get to use the incredible resources that we have with The Shepherd, this beautiful studio that we have in what I consider to be one of the greatest cities in America, Orlando. And then we get to reach out to our other markets, which we love, Ocala and The Villages and Gainesville.
Right.
And to have this kind of an outlet, offering this kind of hope and programming, it's a blast.
It is a blast. And, you know, one of the things I often say around the team is, are you having fun yet?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because media is fun. You know, what we do is fun. But you're right. It's also an awesome responsibility, you know, and this goes all the way from the top, from our owner down. So, you know, it's this mindset of, we are to be good stewards of what we're giving. And so when you talk to, you know, our shareholders, they'll tell you, we don't own it. It belongs to the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you work for people like that,
yeah,
it just makes our job that much easier.
You know, I worked for TV stations that were all about the buck, all about
right.
making money at the bottom line. And that kind of a drive affects every aspect of that broadcast outlet. And that includes all the people like myself. I mean, when I work for a television station doing weather, I felt my role was the one that was always the guinea pig role. They were always trying new nuances of how they could reach out and all gain the ratings and everything. I mean, the comfort level of those of us that were actually on the air, I don't think that was ever considered, Scott. I mean, it was all about, well, what if we did this? What kind of bottom line would that make with the ratings? And of course, what drove the ratings was more sales. And we all know that sales are important.
They are. My job, by the way, my title's Chief Revenue Officer.
Yeah.
So obviously money and, you know, finances and those things, you need that to drive the engine. But one of the things, and it's not new to me, it just kind of adapted it in my career as I lead sales teams, is, you know, people over profits.
Yeah.
And when I talk about that, I think about the great Zig Ziglar. You know, he said, you'll have everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want in life. And so, you know, in our business, in the media business, and this is true no matter what your business is, if you don't have people, you don't have a business.
Yeah.
And so when you're focused so much on profit and driving and driving and driving it, which you in turn, and you've seen this in your career, you've seen colleagues, loved ones, you probably your kids have gone through this where they just get burned out. No one wants to work for that organization. Where I find if you create an environment, and again, the reason why you asked me, you know, how did I even end up here? You know, when I heard the vision from ownership, I was like, yes, because it's about, you know, if you put the people first,
yeah.
People can be our clients. It's the ministries you hear. I I have the pleasure, and Mike, you do as well, of getting to know these ministries, meeting with them, having coffee with them.
It's wonderful.
You know, praying for them. And so when you put people first, man, the prophets are going to come.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
I love that. And, you know, Art Alley, he's a friend. In fact, we've got a meeting coming up with Art, and he's a great resource here in this area for us. He has one of those sayings that I really, really love. He said, when it comes down to obeying the Lord's will and following his word, it only works every time.
That's true.
Every time. I've never forgotten that. Art was the first person that I heard say that. So I give him credit for it all the time.
Sure.
But it really does work every time. But yet the world doesn't operate by that same standard.
They don't. And I think it's, you know, when talking about media and you start to kind of get into that subject of where is media gone wrong? What if media, and again, I believe media never dies, it just reinvents itself. But where media, going back to that 1996, when it became about the corporate dollar, that's where radio started to lose its way.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, you know, and I'm not going to name names, but there's a million company, not million, we're down to like three or four, you know, companies out there that's their focus. It's Wall Street. It's Wall Street. It's not the client. It's not the employee. It's Wall Street. What's our current stock price? And so when you make decisions in business based on that, it's the tail wagging the dog. You're constantly going to, yeah, we got to cut, we got to cut, we got to cut. One of my mentors told me one time, he goes, you can't cut your way to profitability, Scott. You know?
That's really good.
You
but a lot
go
of people
out.
Live that way,
they
though.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
They do.
And so I think this is where, you know, you and I are blessed. You know, it feels like we're self-promoting, but we're just saying, you know, with Mark Media, it's like, no, the shareholders are last. Let's focus on our clients first, our employees second, shareholders.
Yeah.
But hello, I read the gospel. I read my Bible.
Yeah.
What did Jesus do?
Yeah.
Mike, what did Jesus do? He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Son of God in heaven.
Yeah.
What does Scripture say? It says he emptied himself.
Yes.
You know what the opposite of emptying yourself is?
Filling yourself.
Being full of yourself,
right? I get it. And you're right. I mean, but that principle, sadly, is lost on so many, not only people in America, but again, going back to this big, if we wanted to put the media, the secular media, the as Rush Limbaugh would have called the mainstream or the drive-by media was one of his expressions that he would use. If you start looking for those characteristics in the media today, you won't find it in a lot of places.
It's really about revenue. And I think the thing when we talk about, you know, is this media liberal or this media is conservative? I want to tell you right now, media, and this, I'm just going to be honest with you here. And, you know, media, as far as an organization, I think is less driven by how they feel politically and more how can they make money off of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody once said, follow the money.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
The original leaders of Fox News were all Democratic. They all voted Democrat. They were very liberal in their policies.
That's right.
But they looked across and said, wow, there's not a conservative news outlet. Let's create Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the liberal networks, when they realize that our ratings go up every time we put Donald Trump on there, even though he's making fun of us, they still put Donald Trump on there because the ratings went up and they made more money. Now, I'm not talking about the host. That's different.
Yeah.
I think you could say there are liberal hosts and conservative
hosts.
No
doubt about it.
But as far as a business model, it's all about the dollar.
Yeah. And if it's not, then that's why you see all the changes that sometimes are, you know, I think of Tucker Carlson, who, by the way, is coming, as we all know, he's coming to this area just real soon. When it boggles the mind, really, to think that he was let go at the zenith of his popularity. But that is because at times there are competing now goals for that money. And I don't know what all happened.
Yeah,
there.
No, that's one of those stories we may never know. The real story. There's certainly something there. You know, we can speculate. But Yeah, that was, I think we were all a little surprised when that happened.
Yeah. It didn't follow suit with the way you would have thought, because he was at the top of his game.
You know, I know there's Fox historically, man, they have gone through a few lawsuits, and again, we're just reporting the facts, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's out there. So I don't know if it was related to any of that or who knows,
yeah.
but
it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Well, now looking now, Scott, from your vantage point in the media, when you look at the health of America's radio stations, let's take, for example, the segment that we work under, which would be the broadcasts of Christian-owned stations like the NRB, for example, those that are adhering to the principles and kind of join together to kind of bring an evangelical message of the gospel to the world. What do you see that encourages you? And then secondly, are there any aspects about where we are that is a concern?
Well, I think, you know, I always take a step back and let's look at media as a whole, or technology as a whole, before I kind of dive into where we're at today. Anytime there's a technology, anytime something is invented, there's always the element where the church steps up and says, this is a great opportunity to use to reach the gospel. And we celebrate that. You know, whatever it's been, whether it was radio or when television came along, or, you know, even satellite radio. You know, we were pioneers. I was part of a group that's pioneers. I got my job, by the way, because loosely, it's kind of a joke, because of Howard Stern. They were launching Howard Stern. True story. They were launching Howard Stern and they realized, we don't have a Christian talk station. We've got to have a Christian talk station. So they kind of scrambled, and that's how I was able to get the job. But I remember, you know, people, I went to the Southern Baptist Convention. There were people upset at us for being on that.
Because of closeness to Howard Stern.
Because of Howard Stern. They're like, how dare you be there? And I'm like, look, you need a church in Salt Lake City. You need a Christian station on satellite radio. You know, you got to reach the people. So I think, and the counter to that is, anytime there's technology, the enemy will also find a way to use it. You know, pornography is nothing new. Pornography's been around forever. You know, your generation had to work a little harder to find it, and it's now in our pockets, and it's constantly there. So any one platform you can look at and say, Facebook is good in that it helps me connect with friends and family that live far away. I get to see pictures of my nieces and nephews. That's a good thing. And then there's other things that pop up on Facebook. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So when you talk about where is the state of radio, I'm encouraged that there are. When I go to NRB and I see, you know, I'm now at the point in my career where I'm not the youngest guy in the room. I'm about half are older than me and half are younger than me. But I'm excited about the half that's younger than me, that there are people still interested in our business, still wanting to use the medium to reach others for Christ. That's encouraging. When it relates to what the enemy's doing, it's like, there's nothing new under the sun. He doesn't have any new attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't get as worked up when I see those things, as much as just to be mindful of how I can be self-disciplined to stay away from certain things, certainly to make sure my kids are staying away from those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But man, you know, we know how the story ends. God's in control.
Yeah.
The battle's already won.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to me, that's where I'm encouraged, I guess. I'm naturally an optimistic person. You know that about me.
I do know that about you.
And so I'm very much, when it comes to those kinds of things, like a glass half full, so to speak. But yeah, I think the issue more has to do with the internet and, you know, not so much the radio part of our industry. That's certainly reinventing itself. But I think the scary thing is none of us really were ready to have every thought we think put online.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if the one thing that destroyed humanity, it's going to be when they added the comment section on social media and online.
Yeah,
like when people can hide behind their face and put up a fake name and tell you everything they want to say.
Yeah.
That's what to me is ruined society is this free for all. And now people feel like they can say that to your face.
Yeah. That slide down, it's a slippery slope.
Right.
And that's where we find ourselves today. People are saying things to our faces, And then you have the problems that are going on in America right now, where respect is at an all-time low in many areas.
Mike, have you ever had a thought in your young years of life that you went back, maybe it's a fleeting thought, and you thought, oh, Lord, I shouldn't think that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Lord, forgive me. And maybe it's just like you thought a negative thought about somebody, or slanderous thought. Or maybe you and your wife, because you guys are one flesh, and you have a conversation, and later you're like, you know, we all do that. But in the world we live in today, people now express those opinions on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, and there's just this constant, it's like, maybe you need to think before you say that.
That, along with lots of pictures of their feet at the beach. I'll never understand that one, but that is a problem for another story, another day, and maybe we'll solve that one. Yeah, this is something when it's put out there on the internet like that, you can't get it back.
It's out there forever.
It's out there forever.
And that's one of the things that we taught our girls. And you think each parent, you know, we talk about media, each generation, the things you had to teach your kids was different. You know, with my kids, it was very much teaching them whatever's online stays online forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, my college age daughter, she has social media. She never posts. And I ask her, I'm like, I'm curious. And she's like, I don't want to even mess with it. So it worked in that sense, you know, as far as that, because it's true. Whatever you put out there.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, anyone who applies for a job, and I'm not the only one who does this, I'll go and look on your social profile.
Absolutely, because that's where you're going to learn the real person, not the Facebook version of just what they look like or whatever. And you can put anything, if you will, you can put anything on a resume. But boy, if you want to know the conversational points, they are often right there.
Yeah.
Right in the feeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be tragic for them.
It can be. There's a lot of stories about that. So, you know, again, radio itself, there's some things we have to do if we're going to be real, have an honest conversation on the radio part that says if we want to reach the 25-year-olds and younger, we're going to have to think real hard on that because there is more competition out there. But I will tell you, there's a lot of trends, and I know we're up against a break, but I can tell you there are trends where even the young generations are coming back to radio.
They are, and we're seeing that, and that gives hope to all of us that are on the air. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the transition that has happened. One of the moves that I think is very good about radio, how that it is a natural transition to go from a broadcast to the podcasts, and that is something that is being done effectively around the country. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Scott Miller is my guest. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work. This Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
My guest today is Scott Miller. He is involved in media with Mark Media. He also happens to be my supervisor, my boss, and I really love my every interaction with this man. I've learned so much. He wrote a book called Media Matters that is out there, and you can find it on Amazon, that little known place to buy just about anything you want to buy. And it's out there, and it's well done. And he is in touch with a lot of people, the top names in broadcasting, in Christian broadcasting today. Scott knows these people face to face, and you've interacted with them, especially all the time you did that work on FamilyNet and on Sirius when you were putting all of that together. Yeah, it put him in touch with all these ministries that you hear every one of them right here on The Shepherd. And it is really great to have a guy like you, man, leading the fray for us. It means a lot. Now, before we took the break, we were talking about transition of radio. And there was a time when I was in radio that if you missed the show, you missed the show. In this day and age, Scott, you don't miss the show. You can go back and dial it up on a podcast and listen to the podcast. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, podcasting is, it's been around. It's certainly taken off. really, during the pandemic, it took off even more, which I thought was impressive because I always think of audio listening as being something on the go. People weren't on the go, and they were listening to podcasts, listening to books, things of that nature. Now, technology, and again, I want to, you know, my theory on is technology is not good or bad. It's what you do with it. And there's a lot of good that you can do with technology. You know, I subscribe one of my favorite podcasts, and we don't have him on The Shepherd, but I don't mind telling you this, is Andy Stanley has a great podcast on leadership. He pushes out once a month, specific to entrepreneurs. And he's always got some fascinating guest on there that I'm like, oh, this is great. It's helpful stuff. And, you know, Mike, you can listen to your show anytime in the afternoon. And so, yeah, podcasting is certainly something that is huge out there. You know, in the same way, you can listen to almost anything on demand now.
You can, and it's a really great thing. And a lot of podcasts are video podcasts.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that we've talked about here from the get-go of our studios, about having cameras involved and and doing some of that. And maybe one day that will come to fruition.
One day in the near future.
One day, maybe so. And that'd be great. And I think all of that really kind of lends into the fun, but I still like the ability that radio gives you, or when you're cutting the grass outside and maybe taking a walk around the block, you can listen to a podcast,
right?
And basically grow. You can learn something new that you didn't know before by listening both on radio and on. And I have to go back just to say old-fashioned radio again. There's nothing like it, man. When I'm driving down the road, I still love to listen to a live radio show.
So there's some interesting trends there because, again, in the same way we said it with newspaper, you know, is radio dying? I mean, clearly the people listening today don't feel that way because they're tuning in. But Nielsen, if you don't know, Nielsen does ratings. They really have a monopoly on it. Not only though for radio, they actually started on the TV side, and then they bought Arbitron, which used to do it for radio. So
They now own ratings.
So their trends are showing, and this, again, it just confirms it even recently, there are more people today, more adults in America, that listen to radio on a weekly basis than consume linear television, which doesn't surprise me, but then consumes connected TV, which did surprise me. So connected TV is going to be Netflix, Hulu, any of that content.
All on demand.
More adults, according to Nielsen. And again, they're the ones out there surveying people. This is what they do for a living. They're telling us that the stats are, and I can actually find you the numbers, but more people are actually consuming radio now than those other platforms.
Yeah.
This has changed. It was last year the first time we saw radio pass TV. And when it happened, my first thought was, okay.
Was that the pandemic?
I think it was more related. It wasn't the pandemic. I thought it was more related to the actor's strike that we had last year. They quit producing new content. Think about how much repetitive stuff.
And that was a long strike. I mean,
long strike.
It was enduring.
It was enduring. So when I saw that, I thought, okay, this is what it's related to. And to some respect, it still might be related to that. We still may have that lingering effect of shows taking forever to come out. But even, I mean, this came out just this morning, and again, I'm looking for the actual stats, or came out this week, talking about what it is, but it's amazing to me that people are still consuming radio. Now, let me talk about streaming for a moment. Why would you, you know, sort of this thought process, I can download Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, and I can pick my playlist. What we're finding is that people are growing tired of that, because you almost hear the same repetitive songs, or you have to take the time to do the work.
I think that's a great part of it right there.
Or flipping to radio and someone's doing the work for you. So there's a lot of people that are even getting tired, and Spotify just raised their rates again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can pay for this and I got to do the work. It reminds me, I want to ask the local grocery store when the employee Christmas party is, right? Because I'm doing the checkout now.
Yeah.
You know, that's
right. Yeah.
So it's like the same with Spotify. Like, I'm being my own DJ. It's fun for a moment, But then it's like, I want something new, and I love it. And this is a survey of one. I love it when my 15-year-old is listening to one of our stations, and she's like, this is great. I haven't heard this music. This is a great variety. What's the playlist?
Yeah, I think that really plays into the reality that no one has the ability to know all of the different sources and streams of either thought or music or whatever. And when you are doing 100% of your listening on the basis of what you either like or what you know about, you're missing out on all of the other streams. And that's what used to be so fun about radio, was that radio was always bringing different thoughts, the news that would be there. You would know what's going on in the world around us and be informed by radio. Now it's just so many people that they'll have a playlist, like you said.
Yeah.
And at times, who of us don't get tired of our playlists?
So I told you I'd find it. So here's see if this surprises you. Nielsen Audience Insight shows, and this is Radio Inc. article I'm quoting, I don't want to give credit here, shows radio boasts an 82% weekly reach across the general population, surpassing both connected TV at 75% and linear TV at 74%.
And this, linear TV would be broadcast television,
mm-hmm, right?
Right.
And this even includes a youth demographic of whose ages are 12 to 17, dedicating an average of 4 hours and 33 minutes daily to radio. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Listening, significantly outpacing their engagement with live and time-shifted TV by 2 hours and 53 minutes. So the 12 to 17-year-olds are listening to more radio now than they are listening to are watching,
yeah,
consuming videos.
And
so,
that's a really encouraging thing in my mind.
Yeah.
It's very encouraging, not only for the standpoint of being in radio as we are, but from the standpoint of what kind of content is filling their hearts and minds. I mean, that I'd rather them listen to something that is coming on radio than a lot of the kind of recorded music that our kids have been listening for years, and it's full of stuff they really shouldn't
be
listening
to. Well, it gets
back to,
if you listen to radio, it is governed by the FCC. There, mm-hmm, are certain things that are not on there.
Yeah.
But we've also seen over the years, you know, and again, full transparency, I've worked in television. This is not an anti-TV. It's just, you know, the facts that we're seeing. Radio has a more trust factor as well. In fact, a lot of times in my career, I've taken radio shows and taken them to television. Because the studies we saw is, you take a TV show and you put a radio microphone in front of them, the audience had a higher credibility level seeing that talking head in front of a microphone than they did in just a regular TV studio.
Isn't that something? I did not know that. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, all that to say that, you know, there is a space for radio, and I think there's a space for television as well.
Well, in the time that we have left, I'd, yep, love to know what you would say to people that are out there, Christian businesses, people who are running corporations. Why would they or should they advertise their business, whatever it is, mm-hmm, if it's a store or,
sure,
a service? Why? What are the advantages of using an outlet like ours?
Sure.
Why should they do that versus some of the other ways that they could get marketing out there?
Well, I think, you know, advertising is programming. So when you hear a commercial spot, it is programming. People do not mind being marketed to if it's something that they're interested in.
Or fun.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And so where people get frustrating with marketing is when you're pushing a product that doesn't make sense to them. So the answer of why would you advertise, it's about taking your product and making sure it's fit within the right place of your customer. So I would ask the business owner, you know, really comes down to, who are you trying to reach? And let me help you, you know, find. Mass media is all about, I'm going to bring you to the masses. I'm not bringing your product to them. I'm bringing them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what mass media does. So I would tell you, to answer your question, I know it's, you know, looking for a general answer, but it's almost like, I mean, I have told a client before, radio's not for you. Like, I'm not going to just take your money because I want your money. It's about what, you know, who are you trying to reach? So if you look at the demographic, and we know this for the Shepherd, we know who listens to it. So it's like, if you're trying to reach that demographic, why wouldn't you spend your money? Mm-hmm. Radio is one of the most affordable forms of advertising, and it's one of the most instant. I can talk to you today and have a spot on the air tomorrow.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you don't have to have that lag time, and that, you know, that kind of plays into some of the spontaneity that is needed sometimes for getting the word out about things. But it is something that I'm encouraged that after all of this time, having, you know, started off my radio career over 50 years ago now, when I started, 52 years ago.
Do you have time for one other point?
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes.
Okay, good. The other thing I would say is, who do you want your brand associated with? So when you look at why a shepherd versus another format, or why a shepherd versus social media, you know, right now X is toxic. And we do digital media too, by the way. Full transparency, we can put people in any digital mm-hmm. media platform.
Yeah, you're right.
We are steering clients away from X. Hmm. It's too toxic right now.
Isn't that something?
You don't want your brand associated with that. Facebook has its problems right now as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's about, you know, you want to associate your brand with what, you know, and so you got to be careful as well on that.
That's a good point. And, you know, you use the word toxic, and it's an interesting, because that word is also kind of a good descriptor for the way our whole political culture is
right now. Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
On that.
And that's topic for another show, another day. But yeah, we are living in a time that you've got to be considerate of people. You've got to understand where they are. And if you're pushing an audience toward you, it's a great thing to consider to do these kinds of outlets like the Shepherd. I hate to be self-promoting, but that's really, I'm happy with what we have.
In the interest of self-promoting even further, it's MediaMattersBook.com.
Yeah, that's right. And find out about Scott Miller's background. When you read the book, you're going to be amazed.
I've been blessed with so many godly men that have poured into me, honestly.
That's it. Well, you're a blessing to us, Scott. And I really mean that with all of that. And it is an honor to do life, because that's what this is. We get to do life together. It's much more than just broadcasting. It's a way that we live, and it's the things that we care about. And I am thrilled that I get to work with someone that loves the gospel as much as I do, maybe more. And that's what you are, my friend. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, and I don't have to say this. Your listeners love you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's great to have Scott Miller with us from Mark Media, and my boss, and our home company that really oversees the Shepherd and makes all of this possible. Thank you, Scott, for being here. Friends, we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.